Love keeps no record of wrongs. You know, love doesn't harbor resentment, does it? That's what it means. But I can assure you that resentment keeps a very careful set of books, doesn't it? But God doesn't, and love doesn't do that. Love doesn't keep a record of wrong.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Happy Monday and welcome, everyone. It's great to have you tuning in as we begin a new week. Pastor Bill continues his study in the Epistle of 1 Corinthians today with the message he's entitled, Love Activates the Gifts. Now here's Pastor.
One of the most well-known chapters, of course, in the Word of God, and I would say in the world today. We are doing, if you're visiting with us for the very first time or tuning in live for the first time, we are doing a series on the gifts of the Spirit, beginning there, of course, in chapter 12 all the way to chapter 14, 1 Corinthians. The reason we're doing that is because, of course, we teach through the Bible on Sunday mornings. We're in the New Testament, of course, book of 1 Corinthians. But the problem that the reason Paul is writing, it's corrective in narrative, is that the church, as we already know, they're abusing the gifts of the Spirit, especially tongues. And not only that, man, they are literally, they're young, they're divided, they're carnal, they're suing one another. They're just a church that's out of control. But when it comes to the gifts, you have to understand, they were in love with the gifts, not really the giver of the gifts, okay? They love the supernatural, and there's nothing wrong with that if it's balanced properly, amen. And that's what's so important. As we continue this series, listen carefully. See, you may be here this morning, you may be brand new, never even heard about the gifts. Listen, the gifts of the Spirit, God does not want you to be afraid of them. He doesn't want you to be uncomfortable concerning them. And above anything else, God does not want you to be ignorant or uninformed on the true operation of the supernatural gifts of the Spirit that only the Holy Spirit gives as He wills, to whom He wills, and operates through that person whenever He wills. Not the person, but the Holy Spirit. Amen? Very important. Remember again, the gifts of the Spirit, they're not given to man for man to be glorified or a ministry to be glorified. They're given, Jesus said. Remember what the Holy Spirit would do in John 16, 14. He said, the Holy Spirit will glorify me. So this morning, we're looking at a church. They were zealous, I mean, on fire for the gifts. And the Bible says in chapter 1 of Corinthians, they were enriched in every gift, man. Yet, they were using the gifts of the Spirit. Instead of to build up the body of Christ, they were tearing apart the church at Corinth. Remember that the true gifts of the Spirit, again, when they are exercised by the Holy Spirit through the individual, according to God's Word, meaning the Scriptures, the results of it will always bring glory to our Lord. Never to a man, never to a ministry. And just as the gifts of the Spirit, as we left off last time about the human body as an example to the church, in other words, the human body is one single unit with all different members and parts. Thank God some of my parts are working this morning and some of them are not, okay? But as soon as the Sudafed kicks in, I will be breathing again. Praise God. Now, with all that being said, the church is like the body in that it is composed of many different members, you, but it's still one body. Many different giftings, but still one body by the one Holy Spirit who operates in it, the divine helper of the church. Now, with all that being said, Paul tells us in chapter 12, when we ended in verse 31, he says, listen, earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Now, this morning, listen very carefully. I cannot tell you, my heart is crying out to you this morning to understand the gifts and how the gifts truly are activated in the believer's life and how they operate. And that's what we're going to talk about. I want you to notice that the gifts of the Spirit, and these are not exhaustive. There are only nine that we were talking about here, and there's many more. However, it begins in chapter 12 to chapter 14. Right in the middle of the gifts and the conduct of the church concerning the gifts, is chapter 13. Man, this book, this chapter, if you get this into your heart, if you understand how the gifts operate, how they're activated, you'll never be the same. And it's so simple because, see, it's not about you. It's about God's love in you. Amen? And that's why this chapter is so important. Now listen, chapter 13 is not, and let me say it again, chapter 13 is not a hymn for wedding services. I'm not, anybody that's done that, it's okay, you're not in sin. It's not even for funerals. Loved one, listen, chapter 13 is about the gifts of the Spirit. And when people don't understand chapter 13, that's the main reason that you see in Corinth the abuse of the gifts of the Spirit then and even today in our churches. And also the reason whenever chapter 13 is not treated the way it should be, that's the reason for such ignorance in the church concerning the gifts and such fear about the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit. Now listen, the reason that it's all messed up is because chapter 13 is so often studied by the individual Christian, taught by teachers or pastors, okay? And not only that, it's read, taught, studied in isolation from the text from which it's supposed to be in. Are you with me? Oh, that's so important that you've got to have that into your heart because it's concerned with the gifts of the Spirit. Now listen carefully. It is God's love in you. Romans 5:5, the love of God has been shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit that has been given unto you. The word is agape. It comes only from heaven. Amen? Now listen, it is God's love in you that truly activates the gifts of the Spirit as He wills, when He wills, and to whom He wills, and operates them according to the Word of God. Does that make sense? It's not because, hey, I got something going for me. It's not to make a man or a ministry, a woman, anybody famous. It's to make Jesus famous. Amen? And when we do it God's way, oh, loved one, listen, I'm telling you what, you will flow in the gifts as God wills. But you're available. Why? You're going to do it God's way. God's love is what activates the gifts in the individual believer. And also, love is how we exercise the gifts. Properly manifested, it's always because love is the rule. Now, with all that being said, it has been said that chapter 13 is the greatest, strongest, deepest thing Paul ever wrote. You know, I don't know why John the Apostle, who's the Apostle of Love, remember? Do you ever wonder why he didn't pen that? How God didn't use him? But when I start thinking about Paul, who writes this chapter, if there is any man who really understood what the agape of God, the love of God truly is, boy, it had to be Paul, didn't it? I mean, he was a murderer. Man, he locked up Christians. He put them in prison, men and women. He made Christians recant the name of Christ. Not only that, whenever Stephen was being stoned, the first martyr of the church, who was holding the garments? Paul, or it was Saul then, of course. He made havoc of the church. And now he is penning the greatest chapter on love known to man, right here before our very eyes. G. Campbell Morgan said, from the standpoint of literature, this is one of the most remarkable passages that has ever come from the pen of man. Now, in your Bibles, I pray they're open to chapter 13, loved one, or at least you have your iPhone or whatever you're using. If you'll notice, right above chapter 13, there's a title there. Okay, now it may not be in your Bible, depending on the version, but it will say there in your Bibles, the greatest gift. How many people have that in there? Okay, now you know that the Holy Spirit did not put that in there, right? Okay, because love, the agape of God, is not a gift. It is a person. God is love. Are you with me? Very important that we understand that this morning, beginning in chapter 13, verse 1, Paul writes, and he says this, though I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, now he's talking about a spiritual gift. Remember, chapter 13 is all about the gifts of the Spirit. He's talking about the gifts of tongues. I speak with tongues, men and angels, but if I have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Paul is saying simply this, okay, you have the gift of tongues. It could even be angelic. It could be whatever comes out of your mouth could be the most beautiful, incredible truths, whatever it might be. But if you don't have love, God's love, you are absolutely nothing, no matter what gifts are operating through you. Amen? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name, cast out devils in your name, do many wonderful works in your name? And I will say unto them, Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel chapter 7, said, I don't know who you are. I never knew you. I was never intimate with you. You have the gifts were flowing in my name, but you know what? There was no fruit in your life. There was no love. Depart from me, you doers of iniquity, you who practice sin. Now, with all that being said, you know, listen, there are many today, and the gifts of the Spirit, I love the gifts of the Spirit when they're done the right way, not where it's all flesh. You understand what I mean? I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, man. No, listen, you know, there are those, and I remember, and I people that I love and admire, you know, good friends of mine. Man, if I can just one day, if I get the gift of tongues, I've made it. And you know, I've watched some of those. Yeah, they made it all right. And after they made it a goal, and once that happened and occurred in their life, man, they were on fire for God before. But then all of a sudden that happens in their life, and you know what happens to many? They just settle down into a fruitless life for Christ, doing nothing and never winning a person to Christ. No, listen, that's wrong. Amen? No, so we're not a lover of the gifts. We're the lover of God who gives the gifts. Amen? Now, let's go to verse 2. And though Paul says, if I have the gift of prophecy, man, I can bring a word from God from heaven to you or whatever and understand all the mysteries, all the secrets of God, and all knowledge. And though I have all faith, meaning wonder-working miracle faith, okay, so that I could remove mountains. Now, that's the working of miracles. But if I have not what? Love. If I don't have agape, if I don't have God's love in me, and I'm not operating God's love, letting that love operate through the gifts, Paul says, you are absolutely nothing. I gain nothing. I am nothing. I just am totally wasted. You can have, Paul says, all knowledge. I mean, every kind of knowledge about everything that there is, all the knowledge of the universe. You can know every secret of God, the rapture, the day, the moment, the hour, or the second coming of Christ, the moment that the heavens part and the church comes back with him from heaven, Revelation 19, 11 and following. To know that, to know, man, would you like to know that? I would. Why men get manicures or pedicures? If you do that, I hope that you put the man back in manicure. You understand? We live in a sissy generation now. I love you. I'm walking in love right now. Amen. Prophecy, whatever it might be, prophecy, all mysteries, all knowledge, all faith, without love, nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, I become a martyr, whatever. But if I have not the love, God's love in me, it profits me what? Nothing. There's no profit to it. Can you imagine having all of these remarkable qualities in just one man? One man. One person. What comes out of the mouth is so beautiful, so eloquent. You know, or the knowledge, the mystery, all these things that they know. You know, the fact of the matter is that apart from love, it doesn't profit the person a thing. That's what Paul says, meaning the Christian. Listen, apart from love, the gifts of the Spirit, will never be exercised the right way. They will be always exercised in a very selfish and self-centered manner. You know why? Because, you know, when a believer exalts the gifts to the highest place like they did at Corinth, what happens? Jesus is no longer their first love. Are you following me? Revelation 2:4, Jesus said, you have left your first love. So if gifts are now above the Lord, loving him, man, you know what happens? That person then, it's impossible for him or her to be loving. That's why it's all messed up. You know, there are three kinds of love that a man, woman can operate in on this planet. The first one is eros. Now, that word, sensual love, of course, it's not found anywhere in the New Testament. And then there's phileo, that Greek word phileo. We get our, the name of the city, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, and so forth. philanthropist, or however you say that word. That's another one that comes from that word. It means a reciprocal love. In other words, phileo, reciprocal love. You love me, I love you. You know what I mean. You like a pizza, I like a pizza. You understand what I mean? Yeah, the moment you don't like pizza, the moment you're saying that you no longer are a Cowboy fan, I don't love you, man. You know what I mean? But then agape, what a word, agape. Supernatural love that comes from heaven to man, into man's heart. This word agape in the days of Christ was so rare, you couldn't even find it in unbiblical Greek documents. Eros, yes, phileo, oh yeah, but not agape, coined by the Lord. Listen, this is a beautiful, beautiful word. It's a love that gives. John 3:16, for God so agapeo, he gave his only begotten son. In other words, this kind of love costs. Now listen very carefully. The love that is in our heart that activates the gifts of the Spirit, operates the gifts. Okay, now listen now. It's not a feeling love. It's not an emotional love. That's not what agape is, okay? Agape is a deliberate love. Deliberate. Jesus said, love thy enemies. Amen? That's a very hard thing to do. I've had many people, it's always in counseling. They are an enemy. I don't love them. I hate them, Bill. I said, no, you don't understand what Jesus meant. He was not telling you to love them with the emotion of love. Why? Because it's a command. Do you follow me? When you're commanded to love, it's, okay, I've got to love you. Well, no, wait a minute. It's not a feeling of love. It's the obedience of love. Jesus said to obey, I'm obeying. I'm going to, it's deliberate. It's an act of my will. I'm going to do what Jesus said, but that doesn't mean that there's an emotion behind it. Does that make sense? Agape, man, is supernatural. It is uncaused. It's not based on how good the person is or the performance of another person or, boy, they really add up. No, it's agape loves everyone. Do you understand what I'm getting at? It's never about self. It is always about other people. It seeks the welfare of other people. And agape is the only word in the Bible that is used to describe God. 1 John 4:7-8. Remember, let me read it to you. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. In other words, he's the source, the origin of love. And everyone who loves is born of God. Whoever agapes, that's the new birth. You have that love, his love in you. And knows God. Now listen carefully. He who does not love, agape, does not know God. For God is love, unchanging. His love never goes up. It never goes down. It's not based upon the worth or the unworthiness of the individual. Love, God's love is love. It's perfect. Do you understand? It really is in every believer's heart. And this kind of love, unregenerate man, meaning those that are not Christians, they can never, ever have this because it's supernatural. It's a supernatural love. The world that we live in has simply destroyed what true love is. It's sickening. I mean, you watch I Love You, or, I don't know that even today, young people in the church, even maybe many Christians, they don't really know, haven't grasped what the agape truly is. But I can tell you that the world's love is not the love that we're talking about. Amen? No. Now listen, the gifts of the Spirit, they operate by the agape of God. Now, why is that? Well, the reason is this, is that because agape is a love that comes down from God. It's not a natural love. It's not a romantic love. It is absolutely 100% what love really is. Are you with me? Now, when the world, here you are, you're a believer, they're an unbeliever, or maybe a believer, whatever, doesn't matter. But that love is in you. And you know what happens when Christians truly walk in chapter 13 in their lifestyle, but when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, now listen carefully, then that kind of love, as we're going to see in just a moment, when we get into the description of love, that becomes a magnet to those that are hurting, those that are wounded, those that are downcast, those that are going through hell, those that are going through a divorce, those who are, their children are a prodigal, those who have a disease in their body, those who are suffering from depression, those who are just ready to give up on life. And see, when you walk in that kind of love, it's a magnet, and they come to you because it's not natural love. Are you with me? Now listen, unnatural love. When the gifts of the Spirit, when you see all this flesh, that's because it draws the flesh. It doesn't draw the Spirit. No, you walk in this because you can walk in this. And you will see what God does in your life. It is, you know, you can only those who are born again. Born again has the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now listen carefully. It is heartbreaking to me, and I've been around a long time, and I have preached in churches. I wouldn't even want to tell you some of the churches that I have ministered in that are over the top wild. Loved one, listen, it's heartbreaking to me, and it should be heartbreaking to every pastor and every Christian that the fruit of the Spirit, love, is not elevated and given the very highest place in the church. Do you understand? Man, listen, that is a top place to be. And there's so many believers today, maybe because they're not taught or they're not studying properly, I don't know, but they don't want that standard. In other words, they would rather, let's talk about love. I love talking about love, but man, I tell you what, I don't want to practice it. I don't mind treating love as a noun, but oh, I don't want to treat it as a verb. Well, you know, do you understand what I'm getting at? Oh, no. Love is the basis of the operation of all of the gifts of the Spirit. And without the love in that believer manifesting, being real, then the gifts are absolutely nothing for that individual. It is love. It is God's love in us that activates the gifts toward other people when He wills again and as He wills and in whom He wills. Now, verse 4. When we begin in verse 4, there's going to be 14 descriptions, if you will, of love in action because they are all verbs, okay? They're not a noun. It's a verb. It's action, okay? So listen, it's going to tell us what love does. It's going to tell us what love doesn't do. And remember that this now is talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and this is love not for self. It is love for others, the lost and the believers as well. Now let's look at these verbs. It says, love suffers what? What does that mean? It means it doesn't get upset just like that. You know what I mean? You didn't shake my hand. You didn't say hello to me when I walked in the door. Oh, stop it. Come on. Don't give me a hard time this morning, man. You know I'm teasing you. No. Love suffers long. In other words, it's not quick to take offense. No, it's love is patient, loved one. Look at the next one. Love is kind. Listen, when it reaches out to other people. Jesus, you know, who God anointed, remember, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Acts 10:38, for God was with him. There's something about a person that is kind. I mean, you know, the feelings of being kind. It's that you do kind things. Does that make sense? See, that's what love does. Love doesn't even think about self. You think about that other person. You look at that other person. You hurt when they hurt, just like we learned in chapter 12. When one member suffers, we all suffer. Are you with me? Okay, that's so important that we see that. Love does not envy. It doesn't boil over with jealousy. It doesn't say when you get, man, my buddy, he's a Christian, he just got a brand new Cadillac, and you go, why? I don't like that. Well, why? Why? Look at the home they live in. Look what we live in. What? Why? Praise God. Go over to their house and enjoy it. They're paying for it. You're not. No. Listen, look at this now. Love does not parade itself. It doesn't draw attention to themselves. Love is not puffed up. It doesn't have an inflated idea of its own importance. Do you understand? No. No, listen. Love is kind. It's a verb. It does kind things to others. Love is patient. It doesn't feel patient. It practices patience. You know, someone said this, Chrysostom wrote, the early church father said this about patience. It is a word which is used of a man who is wronged and who has easily in his power to avenge himself, but will never do it. Patience never retaliates. You know, we're all guilty of retaliating, aren't we? No, love doesn't parade itself. What does that mean? Love doesn't brag. It doesn't draw attention to self. It doesn't need the applause of people at all. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He had a perfect walk. He's still perfect. He never exalted himself. Never. He never exalted himself, yet he was God.
Unfortunately, we're out of time for today, but please don't miss tomorrow's program when Pastor Bill will conclude this message. Thanks, everyone, for beginning your week with us. May the Lord bless the remainder of your day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.